Take, if you would, and find the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to speak one last time tonight on stewardship and finish out our series. A couple of things. And by the way, some people have asked, where's Amy been today? Amy's my sister. My other sister, Tiffany, on, was it Friday, Jay? Had a 9-pound baby boy. And so she called begging and screaming for help, and Amy flew up there to help her. And this is their second child. And so they had a little girl, and now they have a little boy. And so she went to Cincinnati, and I think it was 20 degrees, she said, and she was ready to come home. Not much help for Tiffany. And so I want you to pray for my sister Tiffany, her husband Brandon. They live just outside of Cincinnati, and they've just been blessed with another baby. Next Sunday in the morning service, I'm going to begin a series that will take us the rest of the year on Sunday morning, Lord willing, and I do have some dates that we won't, like Mother's Day and Father's Day and so on, but I'm going to take the Old Testament and I'm going to preach all the way through the Old Testament book by book. So every Sunday morning when you come, it'll be a new book of the Old Testament. I'm going to give you the key thought for that book, the key message for that book, kind of help outline that book in your thinking. You'll be amazed at the application that is involved. So we're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to go to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and go all the way through, hopefully, the Old Testament. My suggestion is that you buy yourself a stenographer's pad or some kind of little note thing so you can take some notes, and then you'll know what the theme of these books are. And if you run into something in the area of creation, you'll know to go to Genesis. If you have a thought about redemption, you'll need to know to go to Exodus. Communion, you could go to Leviticus. Providence, you'd go to Esther. All kinds of things. But I really believe that it will be a great way for us to get to know the Word of God. There's a saying that says, if you cut the Bible anywhere, if you were to cut this Bible anywhere within the 66 books, it will bleed the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there is unity in the Word of God. And so we're going to go through the Old Testament, and every Sunday will be a new book, and you'll be amazed at what kind of application and subjects that we will encounter upon throughout the year. Now that's my plan. I believe it to be God's plan, but if I throw you a curveball every once in a while, don't hurt me too bad, but that's what we're looking at doing. All right, we have pretty well been all over the idea of stewardship here in the month of January, and I really want the year of 09 to be a year of blessing for our church. You look at the economy, you look at what's going on, you look at those things, maybe you're looking at your investments that you have, and there's nothing wrong with those things. I hope you have those things. But we look at that and we see maybe some dark and dismal things, or we look at that and see some heavy things. I don't want you to be looking at 09 and saying there's no profit in this and we're just going to get through 09 and have it be better in 2010. The problem is that God still has people he wants won to Christ in the year 2009. And God still has work that he wants the church to accomplish in this year. And so I know this. We may not get rich according to what the world defines rich, and I don't know that I want to be anything according to what the world defines, but if I will institute the practice of tithing and be obedient there, and I will have a good understanding and a mindset that I am a steward of God's resources, then I do believe that we can have a tremendous year for God's glory. And I'm not talking about the church having a good financial year. I'm talking about you and I as individuals and our homes being blessed and God doing miraculous things and God enlarging what he is entrusting to us. I'm reminded of that verse that talks about the eyes of the Lord. They run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for that person which he can show himself strong on their behalf. I don't know about you, but I want to be thought of by God as a faithful steward of his resources. Do you? Amen or me? And so I want God to enlarge my responsibilities. In enlarging my responsibilities, yes, there's benefit for me. Yes, there's provision for my home. Yes, there's enthusiasm. And yes, there's responsibility. But also, as he enlarges those things, I want him to be able to get greater glory from my life. And so I beg you, and I've taken you to the scripture. I really want you to be hammered with that thought of ownership. Ownership. I do not own my possessions. I steward my possessions. I steward God's possessions. God is the owner of all things. He is the creator. When we have your funeral service one day, that coffin will just have your body in there. It will have nothing else. We can't take anything with us. We don't own, in the true word of ownership, we steward for a temporary time. Nothing wrong with you owning a home. Nothing wrong with you owning a car. Nothing wrong with you owning whatever. God wants us in understanding to own. We can own those things, but in our ownership, we understand that God is the ultimate owner. And so as the ultimate owner, I am responsible. If you get nothing else, but you get that mindset and begin to analyze your life, you will begin to feel the responsibility and the joy of being a servant for God. And so we talked about that. We talked about the attitudes of stewardship. We talked about faithfulness in small things. We talked about the importance of being able to manage money. We talked about the importance of taking care of other people's stuff. And last week we talked about the attitudes of stewardship. This morning we talked about tithing. And so I want to give you a couple of more secrets in the area of stewardship, and I'd like you to be able to write them down if you can. And I really believe that these will help us in our attitude and in our joy. If we're not careful, sometimes we will look at giving as being a necessary evil almost, instead of enjoying the great privilege and the thrill in giving. I don't know about you, but I love to give. Giving thrills. And I'll end with this verse, but it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And if you have a life where you practice giving and you participate in giving, not just to the church, but giving to your neighbor, not just giving money, but giving time, maybe giving of what a gift that you have as far as an ability. But if you are a giver, nothing thrills your soul like giving. Now, for our own theology, we have to understand what giving is. Tithing and giving are two different things. Tithe is that 10% that is set apart. It's holy. It's sanctified. And when I am and when I get my increase or my pay or whatever that is, 90% of that I have stewarding responsibilities. 10% I just bring back to God and I say, God, this belongs to you. And that's the least amount of giving. I hope you understand that tithing is the least that we could do. Giving comes in after the 10%. So now I'm over here and I'm responsible for stewarding 90%. I've given God the 10, but God's done so much for me and God has blessed me and there's missionaries and there's needs and there's people that are hurting and hungry. And so I have this 90%, and out of that 90%, I'm able to give. You say, preacher, you are splitting hairs. Listen, I never split hairs because I don't have many hairs to split, by the way. All right. I'm not splitting hairs. I'm honing in the theology of the Word of God. So we're right. And so we're cognitive. And so we understand what we're doing. So 10% belongs to God. I don't have any responsibility except bring it. Out of the 90%, then I can be a giver. I can be a true giver. I can enjoy giving. And giving doesn't always have to be money, as you know and understand. It can be a lot of things. So I want to give you some secrets tonight to understanding stewardship. I believe the first one here is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. So giving doesn't become a necessary evil, but there's a thrill in that. You will find that the Bible says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what, class? What's it say? A cheerful giver. Now, that word cheerful in the Greek is hilarious. Hilarious. That doesn't mean out of control. Are my kids in here tonight? My kids aren't in here tonight. They're in choir club, right? I got one daughter who can absolutely get out of control when she laughs. And it starts small, but you can feel it begin to rev up and get in. And pretty soon she can get to where she's just out of control and laughing and giggling and just all that. That's the Bible never does it teach, and I'll talk about this in a moment, never does it teach not ordered giving. It's not where, oh, it's just flying off the cuff and we're doing this and we're just out of control. That's not the thought of cheerful. The thought is hilarious, and it's the thought of privilege. We take the widow woman. You know the little widow woman. There they were. They were all bringing in, and she gave her two mites. And some people mistreat this passage. The passage isn't saying that God just receives even the small offerings. That widow woman did not give a small offering. I hope you understand that. The Bible says she gave what? Does anybody know? All she had. Okay, so whatever your net worth is, that would be like you putting your net worth in the offering plate. And she didn't just give two little mites and everybody be satisfied. That was all of her living. She had nothing else. She went home, or waiting for her was nothing, but God took care of her and blessed her. But that was a tremendous, tremendous offering. So don't let some preacher get up there and say, well, that God just will take your two mites. No, she gave all she had, and she did that willingly. She did that joyfully. She wasn't twisted to do it, and she wasn't made to do it. It was God giving her, her giving, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. Now look at 2 Corinthians 8, one chapter previous, and look at verse number 7. You need to understand something about giving. And this is really the key that helps us to give cheerfully, all right? If you were to go to chapter number 7 and look at verse number 1, chapter number 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So Paul is letting the church at Corinth know about the Macedonian churches and the grace that was on them. These were people of grace. Come down to verse number 7. Paul, in making his correlation between the church of Corinth and the church there, says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, like this church has, in faith, in knowledge and understanding and knowledge, that's utterance and understanding, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this, say it, grace. Okay, so giving is a grace. Giving, I'm steward of 90% of what God entrusts me with. These are God's resources. So out of that 90%, it's as I grow in grace. It's as I understand grace. It's that I understand unmerited favor. As I understand the love of God to me. As I understand the kindness of God to me. As I understand the blessing of God to me. And as that grace grows within me and I have understanding of that, then that swells up and enables me to give. And so, if I do not understand and if I do not glory in the grace of God in chapter 8, verse number 7, there's no way that I can be cheerful in chapter 9, verse number 7. You see, law is never cheerful. And so Paul's saying, no, we're under grace. And so grace is the divine enablement that enables me to give secretly. So the responsibility for me is to grow in grace. Write down 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to give you some verses here. Well, Pastor, how do I grow in grace? If I'm going to be a good steward and I need to understand the secret of stewardship, how do I do this growing in grace? How do I understand this? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you come to verse number 8, Paul has a huge problem. I'm talking about a painful problem, a physical problem that was cumbersome to him, a physical problem that three times he got on his face before God and begged God that it would depart from him. Pick up with verse number 9. And he, that's God, said unto me, or Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then he goes on to talk about reproaches, infirmities, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. And he talks about the position of weakness. So as I go through hard times in my life, and as I go through those things that bring me to the position of weakness, in that weakness, I cry out for the grace of God. The grace of God brings the strength of God. And it's during those developing times that grace develops in my heart and then brings me to the position of cheerfully giving. So if I don't understand grace and I don't practice grace, then I will never be in a position to cheerfully give. So secret number one is I need to know and live inside of grace. All right? That enables me to be a cheerful giver. And so one is be a cheerful giver, not reluctant. There is no joy in reluctant giving. And by the way, I am as guilty as anybody in this room of giving reluctantly. But it's going to be a hard day when I stand before the Lord Jesus and all my giving is on that conveyor belt, or wherever it is, and when my giving goes through the fire and comes out on the other side, I sure want it to come out gold, silver, precious stone, don't you? I don't want it to be consumed in there because I did it reluctantly in that capacity. Secret number two. Not only do I give cheerfully, but I also need to give in proportion to my earnings. This is a wonderful secret. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and look at verse number 2. And I need you to hold your hand in 2 Corinthians 8 because we're going to come back to that too. But the devil gets us to not understand what giving is in the stewardship area. And so we love to compare ourselves with one another. And so we think, well, it's just because I can't give as much as so-and-so, or just because I don't have this or that, then I fall into some kind of belittling category. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and look at verse number 2, he talks about upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, speaking of your offering, as God hath prospered him. All right, so he's talking about proportionate giving. He's talking about the fact that it's not lopsided giving. I can really drive this point home if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and if you look at verses 13 to 14. Right? Paul here is talking, I want you to actually go to verse number 11 and we'll go from there. He's talking to these people and he's helping them have the right spirit. He's helping them have the right understanding. He's helping them to keep from being selfish and he's not letting the old devil get a foothold in. He says, talking about the missionary offering they promised to give in verse number 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. You said a year ago you were going to give, now give it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye, say it, church, have. All right, now go to verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by and, say the word, quality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, and there may be equality. All right? So in our church, God wants for there to be an equality in participation, but not necessarily an equality in amount. Now, understand the preacher. Nothing brings us to a disagreement or to a depression state or a disappointing state in giving or a reluctant state than being forced to give more than we have. I don't want to be a preacher that leads our church into giving more than we have. I want you to give by faith. All right. So don't sit here and think, well, man, I only got a $10 tithe or I'm only able to give $5. And so that, no. He's talking about proportion giving. It's not required that what you don't have, it's required what you do have. And so out of what you have, you are to give in proportion that there be equality in the family. By the way, how many noses do I have on my body? Come on. Right? I didn't ask you how many chins. I know better than to do that. And I'm not going to tell you how many chins you have on your body either. All right? How many noses do I have? I have one nose. I have two ears, one mouth, because you're supposed to do more listening than you are talking. And I have these, but I don't have double body parts. But the whole body fits together. So in our church, we may not all have the same amount, and some do whatever, but there's equality when we come together, and that's the body. So out of my 90%, I steward out of grace and give. Not the 10%, because that belongs to the Lord. But out of this 90%, well, some are able to do some and some are able to do. But the important thing is, whatever I do by faith, I want to do with a pure heart, a pure heart. So we're talking about proportioned giving. And I think that's important because we are so competitive in nature and comparative. And well, we don't have that much and we don't have this, we don't have that. We start letting know what everybody's doing. That's how the devil will get in. All right, secret number three. Not only do you give cheerfully, not only do you give proportionately in your earnings, but when it comes to stewardship, you ought to give because you want to and not because you have to. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 7. He says, let every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give. So let him give. Preacher, do I ever have to give a dime? No. You have to bring the tithe. But giving is something that you are allowed to do. Giving is something that you do out of grace. Giving is something the Bible shows us that they had an example to do in giving to missions and meeting the needs. You study the early church, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. All right. So the joy of stewardship and the joy of giving is giving because you want to, not because you have to. The secret to that is found in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 5. Look at this. Well, how do I ever get to the position where I want to? How do I do that? Well, you get to that position by first giving yourself to the Lord. Look at that. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So you see, if I know and reckon that I'm owned by Jesus and I've surrendered myself to him and I give myself to him first, then out of that, I will want to give. Help me with this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, giving is the natural outflow of grace. And giving because I want to, not because I have to, begins once I first give myself to the Lord. I'm gonna talk about this just a little bit in just a second, but listen, you will never be at peace stewarding the 90% that God has entrusted you with if you don't first give yourself to the Lord. You'll never be at peace that way. There will always be competition. There will always be begrudgingly. There will always be necessity. There will never be that joy. I look at that 90%, but if I don't first give myself to the Lord, then that won't follow. And there will always be that little bit of, I'm doing this not because I really want to, but because I really have to. And so it's a secret to stewardship. Secret number four, all right? And we give because we want to, not because we have to. We give in proportion. We give hilariously. Secret number four is we give regularly, not spasmodically. Regularly, not spasmodically. Go back to that 16th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 2. He says this, upon the first day of the week, all right, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. All right, a secret to stewardship is regular giving. What does that mean, preacher? That means that when I receive increase, whatever that increase is, and whenever I get it, the following Lord's Day, I am dispersing that in giving. Some people get paid once a month, some people get paid twice a month, some people get paid on a weekly basis, whatever that is. But I'm not letting the time elapse, and I'm just not spasmodic. I don't just, oh, okay, they got something going, well, I'll just give that, or I just give that. I am cognitive in what I'm doing. I'm sensitive to that, and I'm looking at that, and I'm giving regularly with a plan. All right? And what a joy that is. All right? So give regularly, not spasmodically. And by the way, I think you ought to even take this outside. There ought to be somebody at work that you give to on a weekly basis. You want to win people to Christ, learn how to give. That doesn't mean you have to give money. That just means you give your time, give your ear, give help, give a good word, give a little bit of care, give a little bit of understanding. If you want to begin to draw people to Christ and you want to be just a marvelous testimony, learn to give and make it on a regular basis. You will find that it will explode in your stewardship. All right, secret number five. Not only do I give regularly, not spasmodically, but I also give to the Lord first, not last. I give first, not last. Now, I touched on this morning, and I want to go back to it. If I'm going to be faithful as a tither, and I don't want the devil to eat my lunch, then you ought to always write that tithe check first. If you wait to the end of the pile of bills, I promise you there's enough bills to swallow up that tithe. Have you been there before? Yes, I have. All right. If you wait to say, and see, here's what happens. I sit down, and God's just moved me to give. He's moved me to give. God says, Tom, I want you to give. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to give to Lona today. And maybe God lays her on my heart and says, I want you to give. And I'll say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Well, he'll lay something on my heart. And what I do is I'll write the tithe, and then I'll write out all my bills. And then, God, if I have anything at the end, I'll give it, and then you can take that. If you wait to the end, you won't do it. Now, I told you last week that giving is the way that I undam the damned resources that are in there. So by that means as I give, then God fills it back. And as I give, God fills it back. And if God tells me to give, then don't wait to the end and give the devil an opportunity. Give right at the beginning. Preacher, do you really believe that? Well, I've seen it in my own life, and I can give you a personal illustration where God says, give, and I said, God, I got all this to do, and I see this, but this is what you want me to do, and I know you're speaking to me to do it. I'm going to give it, and by the time I get here, God has more than met my need. Am I the only one that's ever happened to, or you? Say amen. See, that's part of giving. So give the Lord first, the first fruits of what he has. Secret number six. Remember, secret number six. Always remember this. Remember that there is a relationship between what you give and what you get. There is always a relationship between what you give and what you get. Some people think, well, you shouldn't give to get. Well, let's look at the verse. Let me get my Bible text, and then we'll do fine there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 6. The Bible gives us this relationship in giving. He's teaching them here, this church at Corinth, and these people want to know. He's teaching them about stewardship, and he says, verse 6, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, it's like a harvest. If you plant just a few seeds, you're going to get just a few response. If you plant a whole bunch, you're going to get more. There is a relationship between what you give and what you get. Go to Luke chapter 6. I'll even give you more proof text for this. Luke chapter 6, and let's go to verse number 38. All right, I need to prove this to you so you understand and so you know, so you can practice this. There is a relation between what I give and what I get. And by the way, you always get more than you give. That's the law of the harvest. I plant one seed, I get many fruits. I don't just get one fruit off of one seed. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Wow. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So what's he talking about? He's saying there, if you give financially, then God's going to give back to you financially. If you give in a position of love, then God's going to give back to you in love. Whatever you need is what you should give, because there's a relationship in what you give and what you get. And don't let some pious guy who thinks he knows about the Bible say, oh, you should never give to get. That is the most ridiculous, unbiblical statement that was ever been said. I can prove that to you from the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life so he could get a bride. Okay, he gave to get. That's all that. Well, don't give to get. There's arrogance in there. Now, I understand that you can take that to the extreme and not be biblical. But there are times when I have a financial need and I'll find a way to give and I'll take God right to that verse that says, you said if I would give, I would reap more than that. If I sow sparingly, I'll reap sparingly. So I'm going to sow this and I'm going to expect to reap it. I'm going to give this and I'm going to expect God for you to give it back to me. And God does that. So make sure we know what we're talking about when it comes to the Word of God. And then the last secret is secret number 7, and that would be this. In your giving and in your stewardship, well, that 90% that you're involved in stewarding, remember that you're giving to the Lord. You're giving to the Lord. Every gift that I give, it may be given to a human, but I am giving it to Jesus Christ. If I could give you one good secret, and I meant what I said today, make sure you verbalize in prayer what you're doing. When you write the tithe, tithing isn't just putting my money in the offering plate. Tithing is saying, I recognize Jesus as Lord and I recognize your hand. I recognize your love. And so God, here it is and I'm giving it. And you don't do that in front of people, but you do it privately. I'm giving this in recognition of what you told. And I'm verbalizing and I'm praising and I'm tithing my praise to you and place that in. When I give, I always go to God and I say, now God, I'm going to give, but I am giving to this person, but ultimately I'm giving to you, and I'm giving on the authority of your word. And you said in your word, this is what you would do. So God, here it is. I need you to keep your promise in my life. And your pastor will testify that God has never not one time kept his promise in my life. He is a faithful God. See, stewardship, secrets to stewarding. And so I want 09 to be a great year for us. So my challenge to you, and I'm done early. My challenge is understand all that God has put within your responsibilities. You need to sit down or get away and just write down now, God, man, you've entrusted me with this. You've entrusted me with this. You've entrusted me with this and this and this. And begin to make a list. If you're married, sit down together and say, man, look what God has entrusted us and all that we're responsible. Now, God, in our home, We sure want to be faithful in what you've given to us to steward. So lead us in that stewardship. And you will find that God will begin to enlarge and enlarge and enlarge and enlarge. And you're not going to get wealthy in the world's eyes, but you will become faithful and entrusted more in God's eyes. I promise you, if you'll practice these things, you'll have a wonderful year and you'll see the hand of God in your life like you've never, ever seen it before. And God's people said, amen. All right, let's pray and go home. I kind of felt, God, like I was preaching to the choir tonight a little bit. I know people give, but I want them to cognitive in what we're doing. We get flippant. I just think, well, but we need to be men of the word. We need to be founded on God's word. We need to have reason for what we're doing, and we need to have authority for what we're doing. And so as we look at what you've entrusted us with, there's the responsibility to set apart the holy tithe, and then there's a responsibility to steward. And God, you've given to many of us a spouse and children and homes and things, and there's the things of life that need to be stewarded. But there is the area of giving, and it's a marvelous blessing. It's a grace. It's a grace. It's a grace. And so God, the devil, he tries to twist that. It's not required for what a man doesn't have. It's just out of what you've entrusted us, there needs to be this giving and cheerful giving. It doesn't have to be just money. Some people don't have money to give. You didn't trust them with money, but you trusted them with suffering. And so they've got more suffering than they have money. And so God, out of that suffering, they're able to give. Maybe they can be an encouragement. Some of them have skill, talent, ability. They don't have money. So God, we use what you get. We just need to understand that you've given to everybody as the Spirit wills. And so as we look at that, but oh man, the devil's just got us nailed to money. It's not biblical. But help us, God. I do want you to enlarge us. Next year, in the month of January, when I begin to preach on stewardship, God, I want the people to be able to stand and say, oh, a preacher, let me give testimony what God did in my life, just practicing what he told me to do. Thank you. God, meet our church needs. Continue to bless us. God, we got missionaries around the world that need to be cared for, and I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the people. Take us home safe. God, bring us back Wednesday night. May we just feast upon your word, and may we enjoy one another for a few moments before we go home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.